happy to be joined by our next guest, Andrew Wiebe, a senior editor at MLSsoccer.com, who's headed up for Saturday's game. You bring in a big coat, I imagine.
I'm actually packing right now, guys, and I heard you talking about the energy. I can't match the energy from Wednesday night, so I'm not even going to try, but
it's good.
You got me scared. You have me shaking in my boots. I just packed like four extra pairs of thick socks because I was in Kansas City in 2013. I thought that was cold. We still tell tales about that in the office.
How cold was it?
30? It was like teens.
Oh, okay.
It was teens, it was like, it was down around there, especially with the wind chill. It was windy. I'm getting scared. I'm not going to lie. When you start throwing around the negative numbers, I think I heard -1.
Yeah, but that's Celsius. So we're talking about 30 then.
Okay, so -7 Celsius was Kansas City. So
wow,
I've got
cold
experience. I'm not ready. I'm still not ready for it. I'm packing really heavy, guys.
Yeah, pack some long underwear, some long johns, you know, a couple extra pairs of socks. You'll be fine.
I'm a Kansan. I got this.
So what do you make of this matchup? Because Seattle came on late in the season. Toronto FC, of course, played a long stretch of their second half of the season without the best player maybe that's ever played in the history of Major League Soccer, Sebastian Giovinco, and there was a little bit of a scare against Montreal, but he appears to be good to go for Saturday. How do you evaluate this matchup?
You know, I look at the regular season, I kind of throw it out the window, and that's the benefits of the playoffs. It's not that it didn't matter. Of course it mattered. It got these teams in the position they needed to be in. But I'm just extremely excited, guys, because I think these are the two teams with the right trajectory, with the right group of players that came together at the right times. And, yeah, Seattle had a tough start to the year, but they lost Obafemi Martins, who maybe was the most dynamic forward in the league in February. Clint Dempsey had issues all year long. He was out with the U.S. national team. You're leaning on Jordan Morris. You don't have Nicolas Ladero. You have injuries to Roman Torres. I mean, this team was snake bit in a lot of ways. And when they got their guys back, when they got rolling, even without Clint Dempsey, they looked really, really good. On the flip side, I mean, you're right. I voted for Sebastian Giovinco for MVP. I think David Villa was a legit choice from the voters, the players, the clubs, and everyone else. I think he's the best player in the league. You're right. He's gone. Jozy Altidore's got the form of his life. You know, all the not the bit part players, because that's not what they are, but all the guys who carry the water and do the hard work, the Drew Moores of the world, and the, you know, sometimes Michael Bradley's even, and those outside backs. I mean, it's all just coming together at the right time. I just hope it doesn't get too snowy. I hope the conditions are good. I hope they can play some good soccer out there, because I think both these teams can do it.
Now, I know you talked about MLS, or like the Eastern Conference Final being the greatest MLS playoff series of all time. And, you know, it's kind of hard to top what TFC and Montreal did. But it also kind of makes me worried for Saturday, Andrew, because it's difficult to match that. People are still going to be on the high of what happened against Montreal. And these two teams, there's basically no history between them. You know, they played back in July. Seattle was much different. Altidore and Bradley weren't playing for TFC at that time. I mean, this is basically the first time they've met. I feel like there's going to be a feeling out period. It might be an awkward first date for a little bit before things really get heated up, unlike TFC and Montreal.
Look, I don't disagree with you, and we came off such a high off those two games, both with the crowds and the atmosphere and the rivalry and everything else, and just the games. I mean, good Lord, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. There's an element of that, but here's the thing that they both share historically that has nothing to do with playing each other in the regular season. Both these teams are playing for history. They're playing for their legacies. And, yeah, there might be a feeling out period in the game at times, as finals sometimes do, may not be the prettiest, especially in that cold weather. But the stakes are going to be so high, both on the field and in the stands, that I think there's going to be a kind of element of just nervous energy around this game from about a day before. There's just so much at stake. And you look at Seattle, and this is all they've talked about for, you know, every single year they've been in the league is MLS Cup, MLS Cup, and they've always fallen short. The season when you wouldn't think they'd get there, they're here. And meanwhile, for Toronto, I mean, you guys know better than I do. This team for so long was one that you kind of looked up there and shook your head and said,
yes,
what is going on?
Their own players said it was the worst team in the world, not even the league.
I mean, it's not that long ago that was the case.
Yeah.
So I just think there's all this tension that's been building up for years, and this is a release point. And I hope we get the kind of back and forth game that we saw in that second leg and the first leg, but I mean, hopefully the second leg, to be honest with you. And
yeah,
for a neutral, that'd be great. For everybody in the stands, you know, what, 32,000 of them that aren't wearing Rave Green, that's going to be a heart attack waiting to happen. I can't wait, no matter what happens. I mean, I even think back to 2013. That was a cagey final. It was very cold, but it still had a ton of drama. As long as that has drama, I'll be happy. And as a neutral, I'll take goals too.
It wasn't forever that the MLS Cup final drifted into December. Mentioned that there has been one previously in Toronto. It was in November, I believe late November. How's the league feel about this? Is there a possibility of a change if it really is brutally cold and the conditions are horrible? And I get it. There's not every franchise is in Toronto. In fact, just one of them. This had been in Montreal, they probably would have played it indoors at the Big O, which would have presented its own set of problems, specifically measuring the penalty area. But is there a possibility of the league having a look at how they can maybe compress the schedule and have this cup final not drift into December?
Now, look, I would never profess to speak for the league, but I do think that there is an acknowledgement that within that you have to look at everything every year and find the right solution. And I have no doubt that people are looking at that. And, you know, if it's the right decision as the schedule goes, which by no means is some simple piece of equation where you say, you know what, we just got to do this. If we do this, we solve all our problems. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist like that because there's so many moving parts. I think if they can find a way to maybe accelerate it, that's what folks would be looking at. And we talk about that in the office all the time, and specifically in reference to Liga MX. And you see how quickly they get these eight teams out of the way. Now their setup is much different. Their weather is much different. Their stadium situations are much different. Really just about everything is different. So, you know, I think there's an acknowledgement of that. I don't think this game in particular and the conditions will have any real effect on that, because look, they played the game in Kansas City. You mentioned it. They played that game up there. That wasn't great. And they had the rain and things of that nature. You're taking a chance, and as you said, one of those 20 teams turns out to be up there, and I'm pumped for it. I'm going to be cold, but I'm going to get my foot warmers, and you know, I just hope the quality on the field is up to snuff, and I think it will be.
It's all about the thermals. You got to go with thermals as much as you possibly can on Saturday.
I got the Kansas City. I still have the pair. I bought Cabela's 2 hours before the game because I realized that I was not nearly prepared enough. So those just went in the bag.
And it's always just a little bit colder down by the lake. So that's the other tiny problem with BMO Field, although the new renovations have made that stadium just an absolute delight. But, Andrew, as far as the game on the field, what's the big matchup for you that's really going to play out? Obviously, we all like to talk about the Stars, Sebastian Giovinco, Jozy Altidore, and obviously Jordan Morris, Nick Lodero on Seattle's side. But where do you think this game's really going to be won and lost? For me, it's probably, you know, Michael Bradley, Ozzie Alonso. Those are two of the better midfielders in the league. I think that's where this game probably really gets won and lost on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they're going to both be huge. And they're the guys you're routing it into, and they play the position differently. So it's not always like for like with those two. And Michael's not necessarily a guy who's going to be that kind of like harrier that Ozzie Alonso is. He's going to wait back, try to read the situation, get the ball routed into the right spots. I think if you're going to look at the Stars, which I think, look, we can say that they don't matter. They are for me, the dominoes that are going to change this game. I think Jozy up there against Torres and Marshall, that is going to be just a clash of titans, three of the biggest, strongest players in the league. And let's be frank, Laurent Simon is not Chad Marshall, and Roman Torres is not Cabrera. I mean, these guys are better defenders. They're better physically. They're better in the air. They're better in those kind of second ball, loose ball situations that Montreal seemed to struggle at times against Toronto in. Shows he's got to move them around a little bit. He's got to pull them out of the middle. I think he can do that. I think he can run on those channels. And I'm not going to talk about Giovinco. I think the big one then is Jordan Morris against the likes of Haglund and Zavaleta, because if they can get him isolated in those channels, the Sounders, and Ladero's so good at drifting around and finding the space and finding that ball, he can run by those guys, I think. And while Haglund is awfully good in the air and Zavaleta is incredibly improved, I just think physically and with the confidence he has, Morris can run by those guys. And Valdez, on the flip side, is really good at holding up those central defenders. So, to me, it's kind of both those channels. Like, you know, the inner channel for Jozy, and he's going to want to flip out. And the same thing with Morris. Because if those guys can get in, that's where the game will change. That's where the goals will come from. That's where you'll see tactics, everything else, kind of go out the window as the game state changes.
Talking to Andrew Wiebe, a senior editor at MLSsoccer.com, Toronto FC and the Seattle Sounders in the MLS Cup final on Saturday. And not that this matters all that much, although I find it interesting. And we heard the conversation during the World Series, Cubs and Indians, about ratings and what does the league want and how happy the league was with that matchup. There's some big star power on Toronto FC, and Seattle's one of the glamour franchises in Major League Soccer as well, with the incredible following they have. I'm sure they would have liked to have had a New York or a Los Angeles. It's always good to have those major media markets in a final. But this seems like these two teams bring their own massive fan bases. The league would be pretty happy, and especially considering the way that that semifinal tie went between Toronto and Montreal. There's maybe a little extra intrigue going into this cup final on Saturday.
I mean, you have big names. You have everything you could want, and there was a lot of that in these playoffs. We could have got a number of different matchups. I'm thankful for this has been the one that the dice have rolled out, because you look at the records being set in Canada, and I hear you saying the New York and the LAs, and I think there is this perception in Canada that sometimes we forget about you in New York. Not true. Not true. I've really enjoyed all the markets up there as they've improved and come to the league. But Toronto is a bigger market than I think most of us in the U.S. give it credit for. I mean, it's massive. It's a huge metropolis. It's got so much culture. It's got so much sport, and this game has really mattered there. I remember when I first kind of got the MLS bug in college, it was when Toronto came in. And I remember seeing those fans at BMO, and I remember just thinking, oh, wow, they built a soccer stadium in the shadow of downtown. You know, I think Toronto changed the league, and people who have paid attention understand that, and they also understand that Sebastian Giovinco is just a highlight machine, and if you have a chance to watch him, you got to do it. Same thing with Josie and Michael and the rest of the guys. And then in Seattle, I mean, they did the same. Both these franchises kind of changed shifted things up from MLS 2.0 to whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it. You know, those huge crowds at CenturyLink, Freddie Montero, those expansion teams that actually won and then won U.S. Open Cups. And really kickstarted Cascadia. I just think that this is a matchup right now made in heaven. And, you know, you guys got me a little bit scared, though, with all this weather talk. I hadn't even really thought about the game suffering that much. I'd just been like, you know what, I'll be cold. The players will get it out. They'll figure it out. And now I'm a little worried. But I think in the end they're going to deliver, because I think there's legacies on the line. And, you know, Sebastian Giovinco, Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, Ladero, even Jordan Morris, guys like Brian Schmetzer, there's just so much at stake. And these are the sorts of guys, I think, when they see that opportunity, aren't going to let it go.
No. You wear a little extra layers, you have a little extra cup of coffee or a hot chocolate, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to make a promise that I won't whine during the game. And
attaboy.
I hope to not break that promise.
Just remember, your American dollar goes far here. So if you need some extra clothing, some extra layers, you know, you
wait until you get here.
We got lots of malls and stuff here.
Oh, man. You're not a comfort guy. After you go scare him, you're like, okay, well, the dollar goes a little farther. I'll take that, guys. I'll take that.